Well, good morning and happy Memorial Day weekend. I know Memorial Day is a time that we remember those who have fallen in battle, men and women in our military. But also today is a happy day for the Rabb family back here on this bench. If you see happiness, it's right back here. So Jared, we thank you. Jared's back from his military deployment, so we're glad you're here today. And we do thank our veterans who are here today with us. We thank you for your service. We'll be preaching today from Matthew 11. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew 11 and verse 28. This is one of the great invitations in the Bible. And this invitation is one that we're familiar with, but to me this is one that really... that we cherish and that we love. And so, listen to the words of Jesus. And let's begin in verse 28 here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great invitation that we find in your word. There are many invitations in the Bible, but Lord, we love this one. And I pray today that you would guide our thoughts today and guide my words as I preach from this passage today. Lord, we thank you for this day of worship. We pray, dear God, today that we would honor you in our worship time together. I pray that you would speak to hearts today. May we find our encouragement in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know what this series is going to be that I'm going to begin with today. I know where I'm going to go. But I really don't know how to explain it to you other than say that it's going to be a series to where we look at characters in the Bible and we're going to learn from them and we're going to find encouragement from the characters of the Bible. And really that's why the Bible is given to us. You know, it's more than just knowledge and intellect that we find from reading the Bible. The Bible is given to us to change our lives. And I really do believe that from these characters that we're going to talk about from the Bible, that lives can be changed, and that is my desire. I also want to speak to you and preach to you from personal experience. This passage right here has been very personal to me for a number of reasons. Now, I'm talking today about how to have peace under pressure. You know what pressure is? In other words, for pressure can be stress, anxiety, or whatever you want to call it. But I'm calling this message today, Peace Under Pressure. Today I want to look at the life of Jesus, and then I'll make some points from this passage today. Do you realize that Jesus was a man who knew what pressure was? He did. Jesus had time pressure. People always wanted him to do something, and you understand time pressure. I mean, we all have schedules and we all have responsibilities and pressure. We understand how pressure can come with time. There was also pressure on Jesus as far as demands. There were pressures on Jesus when people misunderstood him. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, it was this big misunderstanding? Well, Jesus had that. Jesus had his critics, and so he was under pressure from criticism from different points. And so Jesus is a person who knew what pressure is all about. Now remember, when he was here, he was man, he was God, but he was also man. He was human and he was God. So what I'm saying is Jesus understands what pressure is and he knows what your pressure is. And he wants to help us with that. And so he's given us here a great invitation for us to follow. When you look at Jesus, you learn some principles from his life. The way he handled pressure was that he knew who he was. He was the Son of God. He knew what His mission was. He knew what His purpose was. And that helps us to deal with pressure when we know who we are. I mean, we belong to Him. We're children of God. He loves us. He's concerned about us. He understands where we are. We know what it is that He's put us here to do. So that clarifies a lot of pressure for us and stress for us in life. Well, that's where Jesus was. He knew what He was about, what He came to do. He was clear on that. And so, who better to help us with the pressures of life than Jesus Christ? And the way He does that is to give us this great invitation here. And this invitation is for those to come to Me. It's not just for certain people, but if you see the passage here, what the passage says is all you who are weary, who are heavy laden, all. And so this is an invitation for anyone. Jesus came into this world, according to Timothy, to save sinners. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, I came into this world. He says, I came to seek and to save those who were lost. We are all sinners. The only difference is this. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner saved by grace. And those who have not believed have not been saved by grace. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. See, that's another way to say it. And so Jesus comes into the world for the purpose of saving us. And here in this passage, He gives this great invitation. And so there are three words that we'll look at today. He said this. He said, come. That's the first word in our outline today. Come. This invitation is for whosoever will. This invitation is an invitation to come to Me, and you will find rest for your soul. Now, look what Jesus says in this invitation. He doesn't say, come to Me and I'll make your burden greater. He doesn't say, come to Me and I will make your anxiety greater. He doesn't say, come to Me and I'll make your pressure greater. He says, come to Me and you will find rest for your soul. So the idea of rest in the Bible is really the word of salvation. And what it is, it's a word that means salvation. That's what rest is in the Bible. It is synonymous with that word. So He's given here an invitation to come to Him, to believe in Him. That's what He means. That's what the word come means. It means believe in Me, trust in Me, come to Me. And the idea of coming to Him is equivalent to believing. So who do we come to? We come to Jesus Christ for salvation. We come to Him recognizing that we cannot save ourselves. We come to Him recognizing that He is the only way that we can find this rest that He offers. We come to Him in desperation, realizing that we have nothing to bring in our hands. In Acts chapter 16, verse 43, the Bible says, whosoever believes in Him shall receive forgiveness of sin. John 3:16, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's what it means to come to Him. We come to Him for the salvation that we need. So He says, you just come to Me, and the invitation is given. The invitation is open here. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And He said this, if you come to Me, then you'll find peace. You'll find rest. And I will give it to you. Then the second word here is take. We take His yoke. The idea of take here in a spiritual sense, what it simply means is to enter into God's rest and to be at peace. When we take His yoke on us, what we're saying is this, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm believing in you. I'm trusting in you. And you take control of my life. See, that's what a yoke was. A yoke was to control the animals. And whatever work the animals were doing, that's how you control it with a yoke. But what does he say about his yoke? He says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. I'm not going to put more burdens on you. Now, what does it mean to come to him and give him control of our life? And how does that help us with the pressure of life? To take his yoke that's easy and light simply means this, that he gives us peace under pressure. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us that we are justified by faith. And when we are made right with God by our faith and trust in him, you know what we have? We have peace with God. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that there is the peace of God. And for believers, when we make our peace with God, then we have the peace of God. But listen to it in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the peace of God. What's the difference in the Bible? Peace with God is when we get saved. When we make our peace with God. When we come to him. When we accept this invitation that he's given. He says, come to me. We believe that. We trust him. We're saved. And then we have peace. Does that mean that all the pressure is going away? No. Does it mean all the trouble is going away? No. Does it mean that we're not going to have pressures in life? No, it doesn't mean that. But here's what it means. He gives us a peace that is beyond understanding. And the peace of God helps us through the pressures of life. In other words, when we are in the storm, his peace will be with us. It's something that we cannot understand. Now, I'll just be a very personal way this morning. I've been in a spiritual battle here that is beyond my control for some months. But I've trusted God with it. I've been on my knees about it. And I can say yesterday I had a great breakthrough spiritually. Some of the things are still out of my control. But I have that deep peace of God in my life. A peace that is beyond understanding to say, God, you've got this. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Come to me and take my yoke upon me. You know what the greatest source of pressure is for anyone? To live your life without God. That's the greatest source of pressure that anyone can be under. To live our lives apart from him, to live our lives our own way, to be our own gods. And it just causes all kinds of pressure. But you see, when we make peace with him and we experience his peace, then no matter what the anxiety is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what it is that's beyond our control, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. Take my yoke. Let me be in control, is what he's saying. And then here, the third word is learn. He says, learn of me. Now this step here is a process. It's the process of learning. Now, I've been saved a long time. I've been preaching a long time. But I can tell you this, this battle that I've been in, I've learned a lot. I want to share with you two things that I've learned that has brought me closer to God and has deepened my faith and my trust in Him. Number one is this, and I'm still learning this, that prayer is the key foundation to having peace under pressure. Now, we know that. We've heard that all our lives. And we believe in praying, but I'm telling you what, it became real to me during this struggle. And so what I've learned about it is this, that, and I've written down three things here, that what prayer does and the reason we pray is to deepen our communion with God, our communication with Him. See, the first source of prayer and the first purpose of prayer is not supplication to ask Him, you know, for what. Well, you know, the first purpose of prayer is to know God and to have that close relationship with Him. And you see, that's what the storms do. The things that are out of our control. The pressure of life that comes to us. See, those pressures, what they do is they bring us to a place of prayer. And what God is doing with that, He's teaching us. He wants us to learn about Him. And so in that closeness of prayer, one verse that kept coming to me was this, Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him." In the midst of the storm, peace under pressure. Another thing I've written down is God wants us to know what He wants us to know. That's what prayer is about. Now, you've heard this, but here's what that means. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is clear. Sometimes the answer is disguised because it comes, the answer comes in a way that we don't expect. But the reason we pray, what I have learned, and that's what He says, come to me, take my yoke, let me have control, and learn. And I'm sharing with you what I've learned through this struggle. Number three, God tells us to pray for our needs so that we will acknowledge Him as the only source of all that we have. He's the source. He's the source of peace. He is the answer to peace under the pressures of life that we all face. Now, I don't know what pressures you're going through, but I know where the source of peace is. It is in Him. What Martin Lloyd Jones, a famous preacher, said of yesterday, he said, "Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God." What I've learned through my struggle is this, and probably you've learned the same thing. Satan doesn't want you to pray. You know what he'll tell you? "You don't need to pray about that." Sometimes he'll tell you, "Well, you prayed about this and God hasn't answered your prayer. God doesn't hear you." And so what the devil does is try to discourage us from praying. And I've learned that. Very, very, you know, being very honest here this morning. But I also learned this. God wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to Him about it. The devil does it. So you see, when we get so discouraged and we give up and we think, well, what's the use in praying? Then we get away from the foundation of where peace can be found in His Word and in prayer. And to know Him. He said, "Learn of me, Another great invitation in the Bible is a verse that's found in the book of Revelation. And here's what it says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That's a great invitation verse. Sometimes that knock comes in our greatest disappointment. Sometimes that knock comes in our greatest time of discouragement. That knock sometimes comes at the graveyard, hospital, funeral home. Sometimes that knock comes through the joyous times of life. But it's an invitation. Do you hear that knock this morning? What's he knocking on your heart's door about? What's this invitation for you today? What do you need to bring to him? He says, come to me. Come to me. I went through the dictionary. And I don't base my sermons on the dictionary, but I looked up the word rest. The word rest in the Bible is a common word in the Old Testament and New Testament. When you read it, it's a word for salvation. That's what it means. So what is this salvation of rest? What's this rest all about? The word rest can mean the cease from action. In other words, I rest in His grace. It's all of grace. I'm not trying to save myself. I'm not trying to find the answer on my own. I'm not trying to relieve my sin burden. It's all grace. Sinner saved by grace. It's just His grace. Another idea was this, to be free from whatever disturbs. And I talked about that, peace with God. Make your peace with God first, and then the peace of God. Another definition in the dictionary was to be fixed and settled. That's when it talked about rest. To be fixed and settled. Secure in God. And all through this struggle I've had, and it doesn't make sense, I've had joy. Because I can enjoy my salvation and I can enjoy my security in Him. You see, it's not my, the security is not in the circumstance. The storms and difficulties, they upset us. But see, our security is in Him. He is our refuge. He is our hope. He is our rock, as the Bible says. And then fourthly, another idea of rest from the dictionary is to be confident and trustful. This to enjoy Him, trust in Him. To have perfect trust in Him. And then the fifth definition I found of rest was to lean on, to repose, to depend. We depend on Him for everything. And as the Bible says, He supplies our every need. What's your need today? Come to me. Take my yoke. Let me take control. And I will give you rest. Second thing I'm learning about prayer. And it's a lifelong process. Second thing I'm learning is this. I'm learning to trust in His goodness and His good purpose. That's what I'm learning. As believers, we have been promised a peace that goes deeper than our circumstance. A peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4:7. And allows us to cast our anxiety on God. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care on Him. Because He cares for you. No matter what circumstance we face. You see, we have peace under pressure. because of what's in us, not because of what's on the outside of us. The circumstances outside of us may not change. The pressure will probably still be there. And we need to understand, Jesus is not saying, hey, you know, come up here today and get saved and everything's going to be great. Doesn't know what this invitation is saying. But what the invitation is saying is this: when we come to Christ, we have a source of strength that we do not have within ourselves. That He transforms our lives. This invitation here was given so people would come to Christ and their lives would be changed. I was looking at this and I thought about, well, what are the essential elements here? And I'll be closed. I'll close after this. And coming to Christ and knowing Him and having His salvation, what's, you know, well, humility is here. You know, He reveals Himself to us in verse 27 here. Then faith, come to me. That's what our faith is. We come to Him. We believe in Him. Repentance and rest is here. All you who are weary, I mean, you're just exhausted. He's talking to people here who've been trying to get to heaven on their own, through their own religion. They were just exhausted. They couldn't keep all the rules. They couldn't keep all the, I mean, they were just so weary. And then he says to those who are heavy laden, you know what that is? That's what I've been talking about. All these pressures. All these burdens. I mean, it's just so heavy. Whatever it is. And he says, come to me and I will give you peace. One of the last invitations found in the Bible, among the last words in the Bible, is found in the book of Revelation. I'll read this and then I'm through. And see, this is where God closes His book to us. And what God does here before He closes His book is to give another invitation. Listen to it, Revelation 21:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him come and take the water of life freely. You know what that says to me? He wants you to come. And He wants you to believe in Him. Give Him control. And then He will give you rest for your soul. Let's stand together, please. Father, thank You for this great invitation in the Bible today. This is one of those invitations that helps us in so many ways. How many times in life have we gone to this passage to find the strength and encouragement that we need? Lord, we thank You that You invite us to come to You. And I pray for those who need to take that step this morning. I pray that they would come to You. Come to You in faith and trust, believing. Father, as we take Your yoke upon us, we know what that means. It means that we are to give you control. And so, Lord, we give You control today. We submit to Your will today. Father, we just thank You for the rest that You give us in our soul. It is beyond understanding. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the difficulty, we can have peace and we can have rest. I pray today that there'd be those who would respond to this invitation that you extend this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, please. Ushers, come forward, please. You may be seated. Whatever pressure you're under, just remember this. You can take it to the Lord, and He'll help you. He sure will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day of worship. Lord, we just don't know what we'd do without this day. This day of worship, this day of just being your people, being in your presence today in worship, and the hymns and songs and the Word of God and prayer. This is so important to us. And Lord, we just don't know where we'd be without this. And we just thank you, Lord, that you help us. We thank you that we can bring the pressures of life to you, and you take care of that. And Father, I pray now that you would bless this offering today, and may we honor you in what we give. In your name we pray. Amen.
They are more than just names. More than blocks of stone set in rows. More than memories. They are our brothers and sisters. Our parents. Children, friends, loved ones, and even strangers who believe that we are worth fighting for, that we are worth dying for. They stand for justice, for courage, for heroism and fearlessness in the face of danger. They stand for the brave men and women who selflessly answered the call and gave their very lives for the cause of freedom. Let us never take their sacrifice for granted, but instead remember with gratitude those who have served today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter. By the grace of God, if we walk upon free soil, if we breathe in the sweetness of liberty, let us give thanks, let us honor the Father, and let us never forget.
Well, thank you for giving the Lord today, and hope that you have a good Memorial Day weekend. And thank you for being here today. This is summertime, but we're still going to have church during summertime, okay? So we'll be here doing what we are supposed to do, and I'm glad you're here today. And we're glad that people can, you know, go and get away and things like that. That's fine. That's great. But I'm glad you're here today. Anyway, it's good to see you. And thank you for being here.
Next Sunday, our group will be leaving for Covenant College, Lookout Mountain, Georgia. So we'll be there for leaving on Sunday and be back on Thursday. So you remember us as we prepare for that. We are so blessed. I know we are blessed in America. We're blessed here in our church. So we're going to sing about that this morning as our closing chorus. If you could stand, we are so blessed.
We are so blessed by the gifts from your hand. I just can't understand why you've loved us so much. We are so blessed. We just can't find a way or the words that can say thank you, Lord, for your touch. When we're empty, you fill us till we overflow. When we're hungry, you feed us and cause us to know. We are so blessed. Take what we have to bring. Take it all, everything. Lord, we love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.